And now let's get on to the heart and lungs of the show. We have three guests. MJ, we'll start with you.
Okay. Hello. It's early. What do you want to know?
Give your name and who you're with so people know who they're listening to.
I am MJ Gilhooly, and I happen to be, they call me the national spokesperson for a national education campaign that tries very hard to be the liaison between all the cutting-edge information that you just heard about how dangerous the air is and the toxin levels, and what can be done about it in terms of living plants. And that's kind of my mission, is to always be bridging the gap between, you know, oh God, we have this terrible problem, and many others. You know, you talk about asthma, you talk about mold, you talk about many other problems that sometimes people almost scapegoat out to plants. In fact, plants are the solution. And so I'm in touch regularly with the horticultural experts and researchers from around the globe to assess, measure, and apply that information wherever possible.
Again, we also have
Madeline Simon.
And?
I have a landscaping company here in New York City. And we regularly supply and maintain live plants in office interiors and corporate plazas.
Cool.
And I'm John Minnie. I'm also a contractor providing interior and exterior landscape contracting in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
And later on, we'll take some listener phone calls so you can ask specific questions. And hopefully other people will want to ask those same questions. And so we'll learn a whole lot. Now, I remember years ago, you used to always hear about how great houseplants were for making the air in your house or apartment a lot cleaner and healthier, and everything was wonderful. And then I started doing Google Logic about 3 years ago. And ever since then, the only time I read about indoor plants is when somebody says, if your kids have asthma, get rid of those plants. You know, that's a terrible thing. And it seemed to me to be wrong, especially since it was kind of the opposite of what I'd always heard. So what's the scoop on this?
Actually, there is formaldehyde in the air in minute quantities. And there,
I mean, in somebody's home, there's formaldehyde they're
absolutely
breathing?
Absolutely.
How did it get there?
Well, it's caused by foam insulation, plywood, particle board, pressed wood products, grocery bags, a lot of facial tissue, paper towels.
But these all things give off little bits
absolutely
of formaldehyde. Wow.
And there are proven pollution fighters, which are azaleas, spider plants, pothos, bamboos, corn plants, chrysanthemums, and your old mother-in-law tongues, snake plants. But these plants actually cleanse the air.
How do they cleanse the air? I mean, they're just sitting there. What are they doing? How do they do this?
Well, there are two ways. Plants, through photosynthesis, of course, take in carbon dioxide through their leaves and regenerate oxygen. In the process, they are cleaning the air and providing us with clean oxygen. The other thing that's interesting, though, the root system actually provides a cleansing mechanism as well, and actually removes more pollutants than the leaves do.
So they take these pollutants into the roots via the leaves?
Exactly. Long as there's air space in the roots, which there has to be to grow a plant, so you have space between the soil particles, and air is actually filtered through the soil mass, almost like a carbon filter, in effect. So the plant is drawing the air through the roots as well as the leaves, and also filtering through the soil mass as well. So there's two ways that plants clean the air indoors.
And they do this for free.
And they do that for free, and they make your place look beautiful, and they make your workers react 12% faster, and they lower your absenteeism rate, and they're doing all these other benefits.
How do they know that it lowers absenteeism and increases productivity?
Oh, that's a good study. That's one of my favorites. There was a woman named Kajovi Field out in Norway, and she studied, and this is why I like this study so much, is there's so few completely controlled studies where she went into 51 offices. They were all structured the same. The lighting setup was the same. The workers were arranged the same in the room. And she did it exactly over 2 years, okay, with different varying amounts of plants in, plants out, and different proximity of the plants to the people. At the end of the 2 years, It was hands down consistent results that we had a 23% reduction in health complaints. And I have the table of those health complaints, what they were. Everything from headaches to congestion, fatigue, 23% reduction. And what's even more interesting to me, because I think some people get it, that you have to have some plants in common areas. You know, it's good to have them out by the lobby or in the atrium. But what this study did one step further is it says that if you increase the density and the proximity, that those health complaints actually went down by 36%. Now, what they did is then they transferred that into what that turned into absenteeism rate, which was a 14% reduction in absenteeism rate.
And, of course, the home office is just as good. And I would imagine it's easier for somebody to take care of their kids when there's plants around for the same reasons.
It's a stress reducer, and it makes people more productive. It gives them a quicker reaction. It makes them happier and healthier.
Most of the controlled studies we have, as the few that MJ has cited, generally studied commercial environments, office environments. But if you think of the benefits that have been demonstrated in these studies, all the benefits are available to us if we have plants in the home as well. One of my favorites is a study out of the University of Texas A&M that showed that plants indoors improve our problem-solving skills, idea generation, and creative performance when you have plants in your around your space, be that home or office. To me, that's a penny and a half.
In the news reports that I do at the beginning of the show, about 3 or 4 months ago, I read one from Science News magazine that kids who were brought to class walking through the woods get better test scores than kids who walk to school walking through concrete and playgrounds. And the kids are also better behaved, the ones who walk through the woods. So,
and that goes completely along the lines with all the studies that Ulrich does in the hospitals.
I haven't noticed the behavior improvement part, but everything else is true.
I think that
when you have two hospital beds and one's facing a green exterior and one's not, that they absolutely know now that they require less pain medication, their healing time is faster. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's revolutionary, really.
It makes sense that people would like to see beauty and nature near them. It's all logical.
I used to work for the post office many years ago, and every once in a while, an edict would come down saying, all right, all personal items off your desk. That means photographs of kids and people's plants. Mm-hmm. And in thinking about the show, I realized, you know, the people always had that stuff on their desks, always seemed to be the better workers. Mm-hmm. And I, at the time, thought, well, because the kind of person who'd be a good worker is the kind of person who would have plants and bring their kids to work. But I guess it's more to it than that. And it's sort of sad that they felt that there was something bad about somebody having plants.
Well, it's just ignorance, and I don't mean that in any derogatory term. I mean, it's lack.
Oh, you can say it derogatory.
No, by ignorance, I mean it's just, and there's so many. I was to blame. I mean, before I started this campaign 5 years ago, I had no clue. I mean, did you? I mean, that a Janet Craig plant that could be sitting next to you is actually acting as the heart and the lung of that room, of your breathing space. And it's eating about 1,800 micrograms of formaldehyde so that you aren't having to eat that. And that's significant. And I think the average person just doesn't quite understand that and thinks of plants as, oh, it's a mold problem or it's this problem or that problem.
Or it's just pretty.
Yeah, or they're pretty. And they just don't really get into the fact that these things are machines. These things, when they have plants in a typical office setting, with all the costs, and I'm talking about professionally installed and professionally maintained plants, that average company will reap a $14.51 return on investment per employee per month because of all these things we've been talking about.
Well, then why do they keep talking about plants cause asthma? Get rid of your plants if there's asthma.
I think a lot of that is anecdotal. People have plants in a space. They see it's a holder of moisture because you have to add water to it. There may be standing water sometimes in the saucer under the plant, and people start to draw conclusions that way. But again, the studies completely contradict any negative benefits and say the overall positive benefits are positive. There's no direct link to plants causing those kinds of problems, and on the contrary, all the supporting studies that we have seen support the clean air benefits, the stress reduction benefits, the productivity benefits, the creativity improvements, and so on.
Does it matter what kind of plant it is?
Not necessarily. Now, some in our tests have proven, and I say our tests, NASA started studies on the value of plants and their ability to clean the air 20, 25 years ago, thinking that plants might be important in space capsules and so on, and as a way to clean the air
sure.
in remote enclosed environments. And the plants they used did show some varying degrees of ability to clean the air better, but they all had a positive benefit.
Also, the small amount of humidity that plants give off make your skin feel better.
Well, there's actually studies there, too. Virginia Lohr did a study at the University of Washington that said plants in a space will increase the humidity to an acceptable human level. And conversely, spaces without plants generally have a below human preference for humidity. So another way the plants actually are giving us a comfortable environment.
If it's too humid, will they do the opposite?
You'd have to have a jungle in your apartment to do that.
Yeah, it's not too humid.
Well, I mean, like, you know, on a summer day when it's humid outside, will the plants reduce the humidity by absorbing some of that moisture?
No.
My understanding is that they act as a controlled, they maintain, that's the key word, they maintain optimal humidity. Now, we like you said, we aren't talking about a jungle, but we're talking about perhaps one plant for every 1,500 square feet. And if you have that, it is said that it will maintain optimal humidity.
That's right. The studies show that it will maintain between a 30 and 60% relative humidity,
correct.
Which is very, very comfortable human
correct.
Tolerance for humidity and preference.
And I would say, Ken, too, the, you know, the lot of what you were talking about in your kind gentleman that talked before about the air and the conditions, you know, there are some things that your listeners can do. I mean, there is an organization called the United States Green Building Council.
Mm.
And I really firmly suggest that people look it up. The website is usgbc.org. And they often have open public councils, like right now, new public buildings where you can go in and you can give your opinions about this. And what you're more than welcome to do is first go to the Plants at Work. That's all one word, plantsatwork.org.
That's you website. Guys.
Yeah. Go to our website. Grab every bit of material in there because all of the studies are there. And go back to the Green Building Council because see what the Green Building Council is slowly doing is adding certification points that make it necessary that certain things that are good for human beings to be inside of commercial buildings are there, mm-hmm. okay? And right now, the only way that we have credit for plants, which seems like the most green thing you could imagine, is through something called the innovative point. It's not, in other words, given its own point. So that's what we are really trying to do is get a lead point specifically for plant installations in these commercial buildings. Because if we miss it and we go down the road without it, we know we could really lose this important element of our life cycle, this important element of what is the hearts and lungs of the indoor environment we live in.
And Madeline, you mentioned something interesting about if there's a case of you think that the flower in your apartment is causing asthma, pluck it.
Yeah, I mean,
you have the rest of the plant.
I think that if there is a lot of dust around your apartment, it'll affect your asthma. But if the plants are clean, there is absolutely no reason why they would do anything negative to your health. It really is the opposite. I also think there's another psychological point that we should make. If the boss sprinkles plants in the office, in the open areas, in the midst, I think it gives a psychological boost to the employees that they feel that the boss cares about them. And it is really not about status. It's not simply the guys in the private offices that have plants. It's about everybody that can enjoy plants equally. And I think that is a very big psychological boost to the productivity in the office.
Oh, yeah, and that too, has been studied about morale and how it affects morale and retention of employees.
They leave as fast.
Right. They feel, and it's exactly what you said, it's that they feel like they feel like the perception of the area is more enhanced, it's nicer. You know, wherever there are plants in like a cafe sitting in a cafeteria, the tables around the trees are the first occupied. Whenever you have something like Opryland Hotel, those rooms are the first occupied that are by the gardens, charging up to $7 million more in revenue a year because of those trees are right by those rooms. I mean, we know this is a fact. It makes everyone feel better. So it's, you know, psychologically, like she said. So it's just sometimes I get to the point where I feel like I want to say it's a no-brainer, but I understand. I understand that I was at the no-brainer status 5 years ago before I started reading all this.
Right, no matter what you know, there was a time you didn't know it.
That's right.
Let me put a little objectivity on this mold issue, too, if I can. You know, we're pro-plant, obviously, and we know its overall benefits, and again, there's so much data to support that. But an overwatered plant, a soggy plant, you know, can actually get moldy. We've seen it, and is that a detriment? No, not necessarily. I would compare it to the wet dish towel that you dropped behind the stove and, you know, under the leaky faucets, and that sat there for a week or two. You know, you get the same kind of effect. My point being, if things like that happen, and plants have a limited life, you know, they're kind of like people, they run their cycle, you have to dispose of it. If there's a problem like that, replace the plant, throw out the plant. One of the things we all do as plant lovers, homeowners, and as landscapers too, is we tend to get attached to our plants and you stay with them longer than you have to.
Like pets.
Exactly, right? Yeah.